The concept of living a life that is worthy is a pretty common concept in our society. There are plenty of books, there's video games, there's TV shows, there's movies. We can see a character who, in some way in their life, is holding on to this thought that they need to live a way to honour somebody else. Perhaps most clearly, we can see it in the movie that Nola could guess, Saving Private Ryan. Now, it is a spoiler, but it's a very old movie, so if you haven't seen it, that's on you. It's very old. In Saving Private Ryan, a group of soldiers, 12 soldiers, follow John Miller on a very dangerous journey to save Private Ryan. His three brothers have already died in the war, and the American military want to get him home so that not all the sons have died in war. Along the way, all but two of that group survive. So 10 of the 12 are killed in battle. And near the end of the movie, we have this scene where a dying John Miller, Tom Hanks, says to Private Ryan, "Earn this. Because of what it has cost to save you, live a worthy life." Paul, as he is imprisoned and suffering for the gospel, understands this concept all too well. And he uses that understanding to urge the Ephesians on to live a life that is worthy of their calling. Paul has already touched on the fact that he's in prison in chapter 3. He doesn't want to discourage the Ephesians. Instead, he uses what Jesus has done to say that it should be an encouragement. Paul is committed to the gospel. He's committed to the gospel because of God's grace. He's committed because he can see God's wisdom and love in action. He is committed because of what God has done. In the early part of Ephesians 1 to 3, Paul goes through a list of amazing things. He has made us alive in Christ, even though we were dead. That by grace we have been saved. That God's free gift to humanity through Jesus, we can have life and we can have peace. That God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good work that God has already prepared for us to do. And because of what God has done, and because of what God is doing, Paul is probably not happy to be in prison, but he's content with it. We read in chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, this. If you have your Bibles, follow along. I will have most of the Bible verses I speak about on screen. So chapter 3, verse 10 to 12 in Ephesians. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. As Paul strives to live a life that is worthy of what God has done for him and what he's doing in the world, so too he urges the Ephesians to live a life that is worthy of what God has done. The calling that a follower of Jesus has received, a call to life, a call to peace with God, a call to the works that God has prepared for us to do, a call to be a church through whom God reveals his wisdom. It is a response, a life lived because of what God has already done. It's not to try to earn God's favor. God's favor has been shown to us already, and it's when we didn't deserve it. It's just a way we can live as a response. And the response that Paul says the Ephesians should have, and we all should have as disciples, is one where we maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. being humble, gentle, and patient, which are all very closely related and all have the same goal. They're all going the same way. And we read these and think, yeah, good. Being humble and gentle and patient, they're all good things. But that is not necessarily how the Greek readers would have heard this. This is a challenge. Being humble is not an easy thing for a Greek reader of the time. The word Paul uses was incredibly rarely used in Greek literature. It wasn't positive. Pretty much every time it's used, it is negative. It is used of slaves, people who have had a humbling experience, something put upon them. And we kind of get that. We use humble well, it's a good thing, but we also say somebody eats humble pie. That's a negative experience for that person. What we see is that we are called to be humble as a response because of what Jesus has done, and Jesus humbling himself on the cross. We can see that in Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because Jesus the Lord, our King, he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom, so too, as believers, we should humble ourselves in service, giving worth to others. Now, the opposite of this, very easy to see, is pride, and this is why it is so dangerous. It is the seed of conflict. And if we're not too sure about that, let's just think about any book we've ever read. It's a story, probably not a factual book, but well, maybe some factual books, history maybe. Any book, any TV show, any movie, where there is conflict, there is pride. Someone who believes they are right, that they have greater merit than somebody else, and so the somebody else should just accept their rightness. As followers of Jesus, our motivation shouldn't be to gain the respect of others. That's pride. It should be to respect and serve others and to serve Jesus. It's not downplaying our gifts or our talents. It's not that kind of humility. It's understanding that our gifts and talents have been given by God to serve each other. For example, very easy example, whoever made the cake last week, if in their humility they went, "Oh, I'm not great baking, I won't do it," we would have just missed out. That cake was delicious. It would be a huge shame, wouldn't it, if that gift was just, "Oh, I'm not that great." No, God has given that gift and it was used for God's body. So thank you, whoever that was. Following on from humbleness is gentleness. And again, that's not a positive Greek word. It's used of domesticated animals. It's putting aside our preferences for ourselves. Again, not a great trait in Greek time, and probably not one now. Our society says we should get what is ours. We should climb that career path. We should have what is for us. My way is right. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. You do you. That is our society. It is a human condition. What is one of the first words that kids learn and use quite a lot? Mine. But for the follower of Jesus, our first concern, not mine, mine are amazing, obviously. But for the follower of Jesus, I'm concerned about that laugh, actually, but no, that's fine. For the follower of Jesus, our first concern should be other people. Their preferences, as long as it's not counter to the gospel, but it's their preferences. Can I move my preferences out of the way so that the other can be blessed? Again, it's a conflict occurs when we seek what is good for us without concern for the other. How many arguments happen when we volunteer to do the dishes? Anyone had an argument when you volunteered to do the dishes? Holly? Okay. Oh, I can't think of any arguments Rachel and I have had when one of us has said, "Yeah, I'll do the dishes." I mean, how heated can we get when each person is trying to sacrifice? Probably the most heated arguments, that last bit of cake. When it's, "No, you have it. No, you have it." The final element we need for keeping unity is patience or long-suffering. Bearing with one another. It's a virtue that is demonstrated well and demonstrates well God's nature. A response to God's patience with us. Patience with us rebels. Patience with us sinners. Patience with us when we've turned our backs on him. It is demonstrated clearly in Jesus. Romans 3:25-26 reads this. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. It is bearing with one another in love, in the love that we have from God, the love that comes from being rooted in Jesus Christ. It is the love that surpasses all knowledge. And the ultimate goal, the purpose of being humble and gentle and patient, is keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Our unity is key because we are one. And honestly, this is amazing. It is simply amazing that before we knew you, before you knew us, we were one already. There is one body and one Spirit. We were called to one hope. We submit to the one Lord. We have the one faith, the one baptism, and the one God and Father of all. We had that before last week. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing to know that God is over all that we do and all we will do. That he's equipped us to do it. That God has gifted us to do the works that he has set forth for us to do. As we begin our physical time together, what we need to remember is our spiritual time together began ages ago. We were one at the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection. It's not become. Paul doesn't say become one to the Ephesians. It's keep that unity because we are already united. We have one God through all and in all and over all. We have the one hope, the one Lord, and in his manifold wisdom, he has chosen us, his church, all churches, but us, his church, to show that to the world. And he's given us gifts to do it. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. The pre-existent Son took on flesh. He stooped down to our level. He walked among us. Let's be honest, he put up with us. He went to the cross for us. Jesus does all of this and then gives gifts to his people. The one Lord. Jesus, the model for our faith and understanding what Jesus has done for us, should lead us pretty easily into being humble and gentle and patient. Surely, I didn't save myself. It's not that I've sinned less or was a good enough person. I'm not worthy of salvation. None of us are. And yet by grace, I am saved. By grace, you are saved. And if you don't know Jesus, by grace, you can be saved too. Because Jesus, through whom and for whom all things were made, gave up the glories of heaven to live on this earth, and went to the cross having been beaten, spat on, and mocked. And he did it for me, and he did it for you. He died that I might live. He died that you might live. And in his ascension, he sends the Holy Spirit to gift us as well. Where's the room for pride, or for doing what I want, or for snapping at somebody because they've done the wrong thing? Imagine on Bondi Rescue, someone has just been pulled from the waves, revived by the lifeguards, and the first thing they say is, "It's because I'm a pretty good swimmer, that's why they saved me." Or maybe they go straight out again, outside the flags, into a rip, because they prefer a bit of space. Or maybe as soon as kind of they wake up, they go, "Oh, look at all those foolish people swimming outside the flags." It just, what would we say about that person? It just doesn't make sense. The one who has ascended above all humbled himself. The one who has filled the entire universe, the whole universe, did not hold on to his wants, but gave them up to come to be with us. The King of Kings endured mockery and beatings for you and for me, to make us alive and to make us one. And so, we need to recognize that Jesus did everything for us and has given us our talents and our gifts, not for ourselves, but for the benefits of his church, for the benefits of each other. We read in verses 11 to 13 this. Oh, I don't think I put it up actually. So have your Bibles. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So yes, there are certain people given by Jesus to his church to do roles. So yes, my job is to equip God's people for works of service, but not just for me and not just for you, but so that the whole body is built up. The church through whom God is revealing his wisdom, we are all as one, serving Jesus and building up the church, which we are all part of. That is again amazing, isn't it? That God would choose his church to reveal his wisdom, that through us God has been, is, and will reveal his wisdom that he has accomplished in Jesus Christ. What we see here, it's not all one way. It's not that I'm here to equip you until you're in unity. No, Paul says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. The goal is attaining the whole measure of Christ, which is huge, and it's not something that I can achieve or you can achieve by yourself. We are a body. We grow together. We're gifted. We are all gifted, and we need to use those gifts in ministry, all of us. That is the only way we can be built up. And it's important because the opposite is dangerous. Nathan recently had his 7th birthday. Leading up to his birthday, for a long time, he had asked for a Minecraft-themed birthday. And then a couple of weeks out, changed his mind. It was fine. It was early enough, and Rach managed it very well. But we know that about kids, don't we? What they're really into in June, by October, something else. They bounce and change. As kids are learning the way their brains kind of grow and develop, everything is concrete. You say something to a kid and that is 100% true. It takes time and skill to learn to discern and to check. And I'm sure we've met people who don't seem to have ever learned that skill. That shouldn't be us. And that is the point of us being equipped. To have the knowledge of Jesus, to know him and his word, to have unity in faith and unity in knowledge. So we're not infants tossed around and just accepting everything that we get told straight away. And we need to be aware there are those out there who will use the word of God or the concept of the word of God to teach what is counter to Jesus. Just the other week, I saw a video of someone telling a church, not a big church, not that that makes any difference, but someone telling a church that they needed to raise funds for this person to have a private jet. Pretty easy example of someone not using the word of God appropriately. In all honesty, one of my jobs is to equip you to make sure that you can make sure I'm equipping you. I want you to know your Bibles well, to check if I'm saying what is true. So have your Bibles, it's very helpful. Because I know that if you do that with me, then you'll do that with other people. And you won't be thrown back and forth by just accepting everything, but you'll know the word of God to check. That's my job. Paul doesn't say, importantly, to the Ephesians, you. He doesn't say all this and just says, you. He says, we. speaking the truth in love, we will be mature. As we do the things that God wants us to do, as we speak the truth in love, we will grow and mature together. That is the goal, to be the mature body of Christ, letting him lead us and move us to do the works that he has given us to do. He has already given us his works to do. And so as we continue doing the things God has given us to do, and as he leads us into new things that he has for us to do, we mature and we grow. That's the goal, each part doing its work. I still think it is amazing and it's really cool. It's been very special that we, as a part of the body of Christ, have always been one. So yes, our first week, and we're getting to know everyone. So please be patient as we try to learn everyone's names. So physically, this is all new. But spiritually, we have been one before this, and that is amazing. We were already, and we will be one as we follow God's direction. We can trust that God is going to be over all, through all, and in all of us. And that all of us, as what we do, is his body. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it is encouraging for us. We thank you for how it convicts us and rebukes us at times. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who illuminates the word for us. Father God, we pray that you would speak to us, convict us and encourage us where we need it. Remind us to be humble and gentle and patient, keeping our unity. God, we thank you that we are one and that we are one under you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray these things and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Quite a ride for you two over the last few weeks, hasn't it? I mean, it's only 2 weeks ago when you actually responded to a call